Well, I think we've all succeeded, given the guys at Rempe Sharp and Mr. Van Geskam and Ulster, and letting them know exactly what we think. And I think everybody's brought up some great points. I'm glad Rich looks at the bottom of this whole thing. And I don't necessarily know that I agree with the front loading. You know, my biggest fear is when we look at things like this is being penny wise and dollar foolish. We don't hire that third person, and then we can't get a build on time, then where are we at? This chart, to me, Bob, kind of says it all right here. According to this, we're given the best deal on the best product no matter where you live. We've got the best water out there at the best price. And if these are the numbers that we end up approving, and the mayor may call it a water rate, what did you call it?
Stabilization.
Stabilization, good word. Ray calls it an increase. According to this, I call it $1.52. This cost me $1.52. So at the end of the day, we can argue all you want, and I would rather soften the blow and do that over a couple of years than play that game with our reserves. We've been down that road before. That's a bad plan. We've got more of those damn unfunded mandates coming, no matter what we do. And we're gonna have to do something with that sludge, and that's a real number. But the bottom line is, we're putting a really good product out there, a product that everybody wanted out there. And things have changed. And the rest of us, the reason that we ask all these questions, and the reason that we want to cut, is we get all the emails from all of the Monday morning quarterbacks. Who are, you know, you can do this if you really tried, if you're really making a hard decision. Bills come in, you cry poor mouth. No, not really. What they don't understand is, and I had this discussion with Mary, I think staff's their own worst enemy. You guys are almost too good at what you do. Because you come up here, it's kind of like when the kids are in trouble and they come in and say, I know I screwed up and I'm in trouble and I'm just going to go to my room. Well, you took the wind out of my sails. I can't even yell at you, goddammit. You come in here and you tell me this is what I had, this is what it should have been, and I've sharpened my pencil and this is where it is, and it almost gets lost in the shuffle. So you guys do such a good job of cutting this down that we almost glaze over the fact that 20% has been cut out of the budget. We almost glaze over the fact that you've taken an enormous amount out of there. So when we see the numbers and then we actually go through them, a lot of them are things that there's nothing we can do about them. There just isn't. There are bills that we have to pay. We've got an IEPA loan that has to be paid, period. There's no negotiating with this. We have to pay this back every year. But the fact remains, and the feather in our cap is, we have the best product out there. That's a big feather in our cap, I think. So, yeah, I think we should absolutely move it forward, knowing full well you know how the council feels. We know you're still sharpening your pencil. We know this isn't exactly what we're going to approve, and we're going to continue trying to improve whatever we have to do to make the least impact on the citizens, because this is a room full of citizens, and it affects our budgets just like it affects everybody else's. And I don't want my bills going up any more than anybody else's do. I just don't. But I also understand you've got to run a business too, and quite frankly, we're in the water business. So we've got to make it work and get the product to the customer, and we put a pretty damn nice product out there. Thank you.
Anyone else from the dais? Oh, forgive me, Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've never thought that my job in the council was to tell everybody what a wonderful job I'm doing, but to continue to do a good job. And in that sense, I still have a problem with the fact that we see in our packet today that things look like they might be close to balanced at the end of this year if we don't have a rate increase. We hear Mr. Van Geskam has sharpened his pencil, but we don't have the numbers in front of us. I'd certainly like to have those numbers. And if he indeed can cut his budget by 2%, why do we need to still ask for a 4% rate increase? Why not a 2%? We hear from Ms. McKittrick that there may be a big expense coming down the road, which at the moment is held out just as something to be afraid of, with no details as to some preliminary estimates, when this might start, what it might cost, on what time scale. Well, costs won't all come in within the first year, I'm sure. There will be some period over which we have to put into effect certain things. Who knows? We have seen nothing about it other than a statement by Ms. McKittrick that we should be afraid of this thing that's on the horizon. I agree we should if we knew anything about it. We don't. All of these things make me wonder why it is at this point we have to agree to a projected 3-year rate increase at this particular time, and why we could not table this until a point when we have a little more information. What is it that requires us to okay a projected 3-year rate increase at this particular point in time?
Well, just to clarify, we're not agreeing to any rate increase and or stabilization at this time. What we're agreeing to, if we choose to agree, is to direct our friends at Rempe Sharp to come back to us with a classified rate stabilization program. And I love that word, stabilization.
It doesn't include the 4% in it.
Not necessarily. It could include different percentages.
Doesn't it go right to what, I apologize, but doesn't that go to right what you're asking for, Alderman Brown? Is the more information?
I'm confused here. I think it would still include the 4% unless we tonight give a different number. Why will it not include that number?
Okay, we're going to have Mr. Van Gescom and my favorite guy, Tim Grimm, comment on this, because this is where it becomes a little bit confused. There's no question about it.
Some of it. Let me back up a little bit. What you're voting on tonight is to take the numbers based on Appendix F, Appendix E, though the operating expenses plus what I have proposed for capital expenses. The debt service that we have, okay, taking those numbers based on the information that we know and that we've come up with as far as our projections in revenue based on the 07-08 fiscal year as our base year for precipitation, we're asking you to approve those numbers as they exist right now. Understanding that what I have done is based on the information that I have been given from by Mary, by Ms. Dawkins, that I have taken those numbers and reduced it based now on the information that I have for salary projections. None of this has anything to do with approving a rate adjustment at this time. We will be coming back to you once Rempe Sharp has their projections based on these numbers, what the rate increases could be or should be based on their numbers. So right now I'm asking you just to approve what the projections are for operating expenses, capital expenses, debt service.
Where does your $150,000 enter?
The $150,000 enters into the numbers that I was given by Mary and Stephanie. I reduced my original budget by that $150,000 based on the numbers they gave me for personnel, for insurance, for IMRF, for purchase power.
Will you give those numbers to Rempe Sharp?
They already have them, and you will have them in your.
We are asking
rate projections.
You're promising us we'll get the numbers. You're asking us to vote on it before we see the numbers. That's all. So the two questions I asked were, one, does it make sense to propose this to postpone it until we've seen the numbers? Or two, the related question is it necessary tonight to approve these 3-year numbers on this particular night? Is there any overriding calendar deadline causing us to have to vote on this tonight? Calendar issue. End of year issue. Why is it that we have to
before our friend from Rempe Sharp answers? I and this is no disrespect to any alderman or anybody watching, but you know how we all sometimes get calls from pollsters, and depending how we answer the questions, depending how the question's asked, the question shouldn't be, is there any compelling reason why we should delay tonight's action? The question is there any compelling reason that the information presented to us is not accurate? And it is accurate. We're not approving rate increases tonight.
We're just told it isn't.
We are no. We are not approving.
As numbers,
Mr. Brown, I have the floor. We are not approving rate increases. We are not improving rate increases.
We have been told that Rempe Sharp has numbers that we have not seen. They're different by $150,000 from the numbers that we have seen. We have been told that by Mr.
But this council has still granted the authority, whether it be a week, 2 weeks, or 2 months from now, to say, thank you for the information, Mr. Van Gescom, Rempe Sharp, thank you for the report. We don't like it. No. But if we say no tonight, we're saying no to whatever the future might hold. We are being short-sighted.
What?
We're being short-sighted. If we say tonight...
The statement makes no sense.
Yes,
would you like to expand on that?
Yeah, I would love to expand. Please be comfortable. If we say to Lempi Sharp, it's a no-go. Stop your review. What we're saying in essence is, whatever the future holds, we're beholden to it. Instead of investigating what might come down the path, we're saying, screw it, we don't want to know. We're afraid of whatever the future might hold, therefore, let's not make a decision.
I did not suggest that they stop. I suggest this council may want to wait a week until we get the information we've been told exists.
Tonight. Exactly, but that's what I'm trying to clarify, because your earlier statement, Dr. Brown, was, I don't want to approve a three-year increase. We're not. We're not approving a three-year increase. We're not.
I said a three-year projection.
We'll review the tape. But regardless,
based on information we haven't seen.
Everything's a projection. So,
well, let me clarify, Mr. Brown. Some changes in the projections were made by Bob Van Gescom late last week. I received them Friday, and I worked over the weekend as best I could. I do have some of the data completed, but certainly it wasn't available to put out into agenda form at this point. I was really surprised that this was even being brought up before the council, because I really thought what we were looking for was consensus from the board, from the committee of the whole, last week. And I'm in the process of determining that rate design, and I needed at least 2 weeks in order to get that done. But I've pressed hard. I've been based upon the information that I had, and I'm pretty well complete. So I know that the information has to be submitted for consideration at the next committee of the whole meeting. It has to be submitted by Wednesday or Thursday. So I have to get that done, and I can't do it in just 2 days. So I have to proceed, and I proceeded upon the best information that I had. And so over the extent of last week, I was basing it on the 5% for water and a 4.25% for sewer. And then on Friday when I received it, I had to push all that back, and I started the work then on based upon what Bob had given me. What I would propose is that we will give you an addenda based upon what Bob had given us to show you then what the new projections would be. But at the same time, I must proceed with the rate design, trying to get it done in a reasonable time. So at the same time, I will prepare the rate design and present it also at that same meeting. So you will have both, basically. But I'm taking a little bit of a chance in order to do that because it takes so much time. It takes at least 2 weeks for me to go through and go through that particular rate design. So I hope you understand, you know, and I can't do it just immediately like that. But it does take a little bit of time.
And I'm not sure I completely understand the motion on the table tonight. I'm perfectly happy with the motion asking you that we do plan on paying you for the second half of the study. Please proceed forward with the council realizing that you're using slightly different numbers than the ones we have seen. But given Mr. Van Gescom's explanation, we accept that you should continue forward.
Right. And on that basis...
It's not the same motion that we have on the table tonight.
On that basis, I can have it ready for submittal on Thursday, and then we can consider it on Monday.
Chuck, might I suggest you make a motion to table?
No. If I'm out of order, somebody turn the mics off, shoot me, whatever the hell you want to do. However, folks, I would encourage you to read the executive summary in your packet. That executive summary is simple to the point of duh. We are playing politics here because it sounds good, but we're fiscally irresponsible. And you might know how I might vote if this is a tie again, but I'm just trying to clarify it. I've heard from several in the council and others in the community. It was confusing. So, you know, I have no social life. I'll be here all night, for God's sake. And I'm certain the rest of you will be as well. We need to clarify this so that even the morons like me can understand it. Again, back to the graduating of the bottom of my class comment. The motion on the table is consistent. The motion on the table is to advance this to phase two. Rempe Sharp is being paid for Phase 1 or Phase 2 or Phase 3. Why shouldn't we ask somebody we've retained to continue to do more work so that our future discussion and decision is based on more information? It's incredible to me that some of us will bitch and moan that we have too much information, that perhaps we're too transparent, and then others will argue, I didn't get enough information. We're hired to make decisions, difficult as they may be. Tonight is one of those nights we're earning our dollars. When you look at the statistics in this report, of a $1.174 million budget, we're looking at less than 7% that we're arguing about. If I was to tell you that we have a $1,175,000 budget, and the best I can do is reduce it to $1,085,000, and you said that's not good enough, you've eliminated a new position, you've eliminated $88,000 worth of expenses. Would that affect the rates? No, it won't. Does that mean $88,000 is not a lot of money? No, it is a lot of money. But we're nibbling at the edges here, I think. Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Mayor.
And I forgive me for interrupting you. I apologize.
It's very apparent we don't have enough information. I understand what you're saying, Alderman Brown.
I wonder why I have a stroke. How can we possibly not have enough information?
Yeah, I have the floor.
Somebody overruled me. How can we not have enough information?
I'd like to make a motion to table this.
Unless the motion is seconded, it dies for a lack of a second.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Marks. Now, again, for all of those of you watching at home, since I am the chair and have the luxury of doing this, we have a report here that is, oh, my God, all sorts of fun stuff. I mean, we're talking 70-plus pages of information, data, what have you. What we have here tonight before us, if I may take a moment, is not a chance to learn, not a chance to gain more information, but a chance really to play possum. And when you define the word possum, it's to feign ignorance and feign death. We are not hired to avoid making decisions. We're hired to make a decision. If you table this, ladies and gentlemen, you do nothing other than caving into some, in my opinion, special interests who, quite frankly, aren't serving the community well. Alderman Marks.
Maybe I misunderstand, and maybe I need that clarification.
Well, forgive me, Alderman Marks.
My understanding.
Forgive me, Alderman Rad. Or
no discussion.
City Attorney Radovich corrected me. Oh. This is not open to discussion.
Okay.
On the motion,
that's
so
fine.
Forgive me.
And Mr. Mayor, the motion to table would go to a date certain, which would be the next city council meeting.
Correct.
Which would be the 8th. 15th.
Point of order. Is it okay to ask that the motion we are voting on to table be reread so we understand the motion that we are going to vote on?
So there's a motion to table that is takes precedence over that motion.
But the motion that we are voting on to table.
The clerk can read the motion. The clerk can read the motion.
The clerk can read the motion. Thank you. That's what I'm looking for because I think the mayor misstated the clerk.
I did not misstate. The motion on the table is consider approval of water and sewer rate study by Rempe Sharp Engineers. The executive summary in your packet describes exactly what our action should be tonight, and that is to advance this matter for Phase 2. Pretty simple. Does advancing this matter to Phase 2 cost us more money? No. Does it provide us more information? Absolutely. We can delay this as far as we want to, and we can still argue we don't have enough information. And through victory through attrition, we'll have so much information that we all don't know what the hell we're talking about. So, on the motion to table, Mr. Clerk, simple majority rules the day. Please take the roll.
Ray Pollack.
Aye.
Yeah, it's to February 15th. City Council.
February 15th, excuse me.
Robert Piper.
Nay.
Ron Sanger?
Nay.
Don Vogelsberg?
Nay.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Nay.
Greg Maladra?
Nay.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
The motion is tied. And guess what? This is awesome. I get to break another tie, and I vote nay on the motion to table. The main motion is back on the floor. So let's continue. Alderman Marks, excuse me for interrupting.
No, because it was fine. I was out of order at that point. I guess my question is this, and this is where I'm probably confused. I thought that we were voting on the numbers that are in this packet to go forward to work with Rempe Sharp. because that's what I was given to look at. And I guess maybe I'm wrong, because that's what I thought we were doing, was giving these numbers to Rempe Sharpe to work on the rate study. I'm not sure, and then my problem is I'm not sure if I agree with all these numbers. And that's, so if there's a different set of numbers, I'd just like to see them before I vote on. I mean, I'm not sure if we need a rate study or not if numbers are changing, and that's not the issue. The issue is that whatever we give Rempe Sharpe is what, my understanding is whatever we give Rempe Sharpe is what they're going to use to base the water rates on. And I'm saying if I have problems with these numbers, that I don't agree with these numbers, then I should vote no. If I agree with these numbers, I should vote yes. Now, if these numbers changed,
increase.
I just would like to know what I'm voting on.
Right.
To get back to the beginning, that's what I'm confused at. I'm not sure now what am I voting on what's in the packet and what I was given ahead of time to look at, or are we voting on a whole other set of numbers? I guess that's why I asked to move the table, because I'd like to see the new numbers. That's my concern.
Understood.
Is I'm not sure what I'm voting on anymore.
Success. Mr. Dimas, do you want to address that? Otherwise, I or Mary McKittrick can.
I was going to just kind of cover.
Well, let's address Mr. Marks's comments.
It's just
first.
My question. I just want to know.
The information presented to all of us last Monday in this.
Was a report dated January 18th.
Bingo.
And that's what I've looked at.
And that's what we've all looked at. It's been acknowledged tonight from Superintendent Van Gescom that there have been new numbers provided to Rempe Sharpe. Rempe Sharpe will have a new report presented based on those new numbers.
But shouldn't we be looking at the new numbers before they work? What I guess is, my feeling is this. We need to agree on the numbers we give to Rempe Sharpe so that they, I don't want them to go crunching a whole bunch of numbers for us to say, oh, we want to change these numbers. You know, if we're giving them different numbers, we should be looking at what we give them, because that's what we're asking them to present the study on. And if we don't agree with the numbers in phase one, it's hard to then agree in phase two if the numbers all change, because if we start changing the numbers again through the study, we get into this vicious cycle, and then they're wasting a lot of time recrunching numbers. I guess that's where I'm going with this. And maybe I'm just confused as the new guy on the...
No.
I just want to make sure I'm voting on the right thing.
You're voting to erect the Richard Marks statue.
And then I vote no.
Because I don't want the birds all landing on it.
just for clarification, last week staff was directed to, quote-unquote, sharpen your pencils. Go back and see what you can cut. We weren't directed to sit down with the council and go through line by line and make sure that everybody agrees with every number.
Okay.
We were directed to sharpen our pencils, make some cuts, and that's what we've done.
But we have not had the advantage to look at those numbers.
No, you haven't. But as staff who knows the operations,
Okay. We
feel that we've addressed those areas that were discussed, and that we have advanced those numbers to Rempe Sharpe to address the concerns, particularly in those specific line items that were talked about. So no, we didn't expect to come back and go through line item by line item with the council. We did in general what the council asked us to do, is sharpen our pencils, make some cuts, advance those numbers to Rempe Sharpe, and that's been done.
Okay. Well, so I guess my question then is this, is should we really be voting on amending for sending Rempe Sharpe the amended numbers? Isn't that what we're really voting on then?
In essence, by going to phase two and acknowledging Mr. Van Gescom's statement and the statement from Rempe Sharpe that an addendum will be provided, I believe we are doing exactly that.
But should that be the way the motion is then presented? Because
I'll ask Attorney Radovich.
Because the way I'm reading this is the study.
It certainly can be.
I just want to make sure that we're going to
encapsulate it accordingly. Sure, it can be. We can supplement the motion that was offered by Mr. Maladra and Mr. Singer to include those comments.
I just want to know what I'm voting on. That's all I really want to know.
That was not part of your job description.
Okay.
But that's okay. And then we'll hold that thought, and we can ask the motioner and seconder. Mr. D'Antino?
I guess you'll have to pardon my ignorance, but that was what I was going to do, is find out what I'm voting on. But the second thing is, what is the difference between phase one, phase two, phase three in these studies? Why do we do it in three phases?
Mr. Grimm, Mr. Van Gescom?
The purpose of the cash flow portion... It's really to establish what is acceptable to the council as far as percent rate increases for each year. We could approach it where we would have one single rate increase for our rate design in fiscal year 10-11. We could do it in 11-12 or 12-13. There's many ways that we could approach the rate increase or the rate design. So our hope was to, in the phase one, to get a, gain acceptance from everybody as far as is a three-year rate design acceptable? Is a single-year rate, rate design acceptable? It was a matter of getting acceptance from everybody as to what would be the appropriate approach for.
So you went back and with what notion there? What was acceptable? Because I'm confused on what we actually told you would be acceptable then.
We reviewed with staff. We had several rate designs that would have generated the required revenue based on the data that we were given. So we reviewed with staff what would be the best approach.
And what is that?
The three-year.
Three-year.
Three-year
okay.
rate design.
Because when you give us this booklet and you show the three-year proposal and then you put it on the agenda, that's what it looks like we're voting on is a rate increase when I guess now we're not voting on it.
No, and that's the beauty of, you know, when Manny McKittrick became city administrator, one of the simplest yet most effective tools she implemented was the executive summary. Mm-hmm. And that executive summary is really a Cliff's Notes version of what we're asked to consider. So really, I could come to this council meeting tonight not having even looked at this, yet read the executive summary saying, okay, I get what I'm supposed to be considering. So the executive summary says tonight, here's what you're advancing. It's not a rate increase. No. It's not a rate stabilization. It's heading to phase two.
And
based on these numbers, which will be amended,
okay.
based on new numbers provided by Mr. Van Gescom.
And when do we vote on this rate increase if there is a proposed rate increase?
February 8th.
Well, possibly February 8th, but depending if we get all the work done. It could be probably February 22nd, but who knows?
I'd like to, Bill Gain again with Rick Sharp. I'd like to address what you said. Now, I've been doing this since 1985 for the city, and we've always done it in two steps. And the reason is we want to convey the cash flow projection. Staff and the engineer work together, and we determine what we think is necessary. And we usually work on a 3 to 5 year basis. If we feel comfortable with the projections, we'll go to a 5 year basis. If we're not quite so comfortable, we try to do it on a 3 year basis. What we've always attempted to do before was to have one rate increase that would extend for those 3 to 5 years. So you wouldn't have to come back every year for a rate increase. However, since 2004, we've had to look at it on an annual basis because the debt service was increasing so quickly. And we certainly couldn't imply just a tremendously large rate increase. And so we decided to do it over a number of years. In this particular case, we took a look at it and we said, well, we're really not sure with these consumption figures. And they may have some impact in the future. And so what we decided, maybe what we ought to take a look is during those 3 years, rather than having one large increase right at the beginning or on the second year or on the third year, that we take a look at a really even rate increase each year during that particular period. Now, again, those cash flow projections are really for the intent that you can take and own what those projections for operation maintenance as well as for capital improvements. That's what the purpose of those cash flow projections are. I give you an idea of the rate increase, what it would be, a general idea up at the top. I think I told you last time when we first started doing this in 1985, I didn't show that. And there were always because we wanted to really concentrate on just the cash flow projections. However, the alderman always asked, "Well, what do you think, Bill? What approximately what rate increase is this going to mean?" And so I found it necessary really to show you up at the top and says, "Well, generally this looks like about a 4% increase or a 5% increase, but you really don't know until I get down into the rate design." And that's what I intend to do once the cash flow projections are made.
I hope that answers something. Your question. I think the confusing thing, the real answer to your question is there's not one rate. We have to take the numbers and we have to spread them across residential, commercial, and the three different industrial rate categories.
There's four. There's residential, commercial, governmental, and industrial.
Industrial. So he has to take that and spread them across. So in the end, he ends up with specific rate recommendations for all categories. The average is the 4%.
That's correct.
Or the 5%
right.
That he's quoted. So in the end, phase two takes the one suggested cash flow from phase one and spreads that to generate four different rate categories in the four different classes. And you do that by examining the exact consumption in the four different classes.
Right. You look at the cost of providing that service and trying to make sure that the revenue that you're generating relates to the cost of service provided to that class.
That's the point I'm trying to make. It's not going to change the average rate projection much. All it's going to do is spread it across the four categories in a way that looks like it's reasonable depending on how much they've generated and how much they've used. The problem again comes back to that point. Why in this particular year are we not doing single year projections on this fund? This is the wrong year to be talking about 3-year projections.
But before
we're talking
1-year
projections for a number of years in a row, and now this year we're going to 3-year, is this the right year to be doing? And that's the point. One of the points that Mr. Marks and I have been trying to look at here and understand why we're trying to project 3 years in this particular year.
Before we address Dr. Brown's comments, Mr. Dantino still has the floor.
So, in what Mr. Brown said then, if the average is 4% over these four different rate classes, the residential might be 2% and the commercial might be 8% or something like that. I don't know. I'm asking.
Right. It's probably going to be residential will be a higher percentage.
Higher percentage.
A higher percentage because they are in probably the higher cost group because their peak flows are greater than what industrial flows would be.
So the average homeowner then could look for a higher rate than for higher increase.
5%.
Higher than 5%. Yes.
Higher than 5%.
That's accurate.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just going to try to. I know that we're voting on this particular document here, but my confusion was when we do put out the percentages and line by line, we actually allude to the fact that these percentages are what we're going to be increasing the fund by, as far as I understand it. So we are, in essence, accepting some of these approximations by accepting this document in so many words. Because we are already accepting that we're going to be looking at some sort of percentage, and we're approximating 5% or 4.25%. So that's where my confusion is. And if we're going to be doing it over 3 years, how does that figure out? And I'm not a number cruncher, but aren't we compounding that increase then? The first year, if we increase it 5%, and then we take that figure and we increase another 5%, and then the third year we increase it to another 5%. We're compounding that amount. It's the way I look at it, but again, I'm not a number cruncher, so.
That would be correct. The rate would increase based on the previous year by that percentage.
Okay.
Mr. Van Gascombe, did you want to comment? Otherwise, I'll recognize Alderman Vogelsberg and Alderman Hill.
I guess one thing I would like to comment on is that the new booklet that you will receive goes to the next committee of the whole meeting, and that's when we'll look at the rates. You will have plenty of time to look over this information and decide at that point in time if something doesn't look right to you, if we have not reduced it enough. If you, you know, feel like you need to talk to Mary or myself or Dan or whoever else, that something doesn't look right, we're going to have time to do this. What I guess I'm asking from you is to believe in us that the numbers that were given by Mary to me, from Stephanie to me, is that they are the most accurate to date. We were asked at the last committee of the whole meeting to sharpen our pencils. I did that. That was the information that I gave to Rempe Sharp. The numbers will not be higher, they will be significantly lower. So if anything, it benefits everybody by the fact that we've gained more information. When you have that packet in front of you in the next few days, you're going to be able to look at that and decipher it and see the changes that we've made. I just wanted to clarify that this is not a move to increase rates tonight, because it's not. We're just asking that, you know, to the best of our ability, the numbers that we have right now are as accurate as they can be, and I don't believe that they are going to even change all that much from the numbers that I have recently given Rempe Sharp. So I just wanted to clarify that you will, in the next few days, receive those packets again and be able to look at them more closely. So that's my only comment.
And to amplify and perhaps edify, I would like to suggest that this matter will not be discussed at the next COW meeting. It won't be discussed till February 22nd. So when we receive this new data, we're going to have ample time to not only digest it, but I hope and I pray that those who have questions will send those questions to Mr. Van Gesken or Mr. Dinges well in advance of the 22nd, and or even Rempe Sharp, for that matter. So, again, we're not going to be discussing this on February 8th. We're going to hold off until the 22nd. That gives certainly the man who never moves some more breathing time, and Mr. Grimm a chance to change his first name. So, Alderman Vogelsberg, Alderman Hill, and then Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mayor. I just feel like we need something to just finish this off, you know. And I think, you know, Mary always says there's two ways that aldermen vote, for the general good of the city or the good of their ward. Well, I also feel like there's two other ways people vote. People who want to understand everything that the staff do, and people who just feel like we hired the best staff and then let's just do them. When I'm looking around, I mean, we have all those pages, I get it. But we authorized to hire Rempe Sharp, so we have two professionals here. They already said this is all they do. And they're getting their information from all the department heads we all approved in May, who we are, you know, paying for them. So at some point, we need to just let go and just assume that we're all on the same team to do the best thing for the residents. I mean, when I take my kids to the dentist, I love them more than she does, and it's my money, but I don't get in and tell her how to do it. Why did you do this? Why? Just, I mean, that's what I'm paying for, and that's what we're paying the staff for, and that's what we're paying Rempe Sharp for their expertise. I don't want to be a staff. So I think that's just the two different ways of how we vote as aldermen, and I think since it's a tie vote, let's just kill this. Let's just finish it off.
I think those blatant statements of violence are inappropriate, and
I should have eaten dinner before I
I laid off a Jolly Rancher. It's one of the two. Alderman Hill, Alderman Singer. Alderman Pollack.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Exactly. I certainly cannot express myself as well as my famous older woman over there, especially with my hands, but I do agree with her. I think it's time to move on. And I think we ought to accept phase one, and we're going to see phase one again with some of the new numbers. And as long as in the revised phase one, if we want to call it that, if we get to that point, that there's no reference to rate changes until we get to phase two. I think that's what's had me confused.
Understood.
Until the last 30 minutes. But I think we ought to move on and let phase one be approved and go on to phase two whenever that's going to show up.
Well, before I call on Alderman Singer, then, would the motioner and the seconder concur with a friendly amendment that the amendment on the floor, motion on the floor would include consider approval of water and sewer rate study by Rempe Sharp Engineers with an addendum reflecting new numbers to be presented on February 22nd?
Okay. Absolutely.
Seconder as well?
I would agree.
Okay. Alderman Singer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, what if for some foreseen reason, hopefully that the economy improves dramatically within the next 6 months or 12 months as such, and we see an increase in revenue generated from the water department? Cannot we then make a decision in a year or a year and a half from now to reduce those rates?
Yes, we can.
Certainly. All right. Thank you, sir. I certainly also would agree with Alderman Hill's suggestion, as well as echoing Alderman Vogelsberg, and I think we should move on. Can I call the question?
No, you may not. Alderman Pollack.
Was a good answer.
I have no further questions, Mayor.
May I call the question?
Oh, hold on. We've got some residents here. You got a date tonight, Mr. Singer, or something? It's like
missing some good TV.
There's no good TV on ever.
This is it.
Yeah, this is
it. We're part of it.
With the language that me and Piper have used, it probably wouldn't be allowed on FCC regulations, so I apologize for that as well.
Close.
Anyone from the audience? Comments, questions, clarifications? Yes, please join us. You got to come up to the podium, Mr. Kilburn. People have been missing you at home. How you doing, Dean?
Good. Dean Kilburn, 305 East Side Drive. Are there any practices as it relates to rate increases where if your consumption doesn't reach a certain point, there's a trigger that would go into effect as it relates to a rate? In other words, if you're looking at 3 years, as Mr. Singer pointed out, we don't know what next year or the year after holds. Is it possible to incorporate a trigger? Because I think residents would feel a lot better about that if they know that if consumption isn't there, the rates need to increase. So is that something that's being considered?
I'll defer to Mr. Van Gescom.
If I understand the question correctly, what Rempe Sharp did is they provided a three-year forecast. We would only be going for 1 year basically at a time. What we would do is we would say to you is here is the three-year forecast, three-year rate study. We do not have to approve a 4.25% or 5% increase for the next 3 years. We could come back after next year and say, no, we are in great financial shape. We don't need to increase rates, you know, in 11, 12, 12, 13, whatever it may be. So I'm hoping that answered the question.
Mr. Kilburn, did Mr. Van Gascombe's comments help, or did we miss the mark on that?
Well, I still think if you have a trigger, I think people rest a lot easier.
So, in other words, if we're producing, let's say, 100 gallons, and if we don't reach the 102 gallons, then the trigger comes into play. Okay.
Just to add to that, I think because there is a little bit of uncertainty with not only projected consumption, you know, the fiscal year 09-10, we're projecting quite substantial sharp declines in consumption. And also, in addition to the potential IEPA/IEMA regulations, there's going to be potential changes in expenses. It's very important that following each or during each fiscal year that staff and council look at
how revenues are looking, and if needed, to make adjustments down or up as necessary to account for you know, unforeseen expenses slash changes in consumption.
Kevin.
So it's safe to assume then, Mr. Grimm, I just like saying that, it's awesome, that it's not only our responsibility to focus on consumption, but it's also our responsibility as board members of this enterprise fund to also look on other impacts such as legislative initiatives.
Correct.
So in year two of this proposal, if a year from now we're back in this very city council chamber and our friends at the IEMA and others have decided that the sludge removal and disposal is going to cost us $250,000, that has to come into play as well. So it's prudent for us to keep an eye on legislative stupidity so that we can possibly factor that in.
Correct.
It's wise to forecast 3 years out. It's wise to look beyond next week, next month, and next year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Pawlak and Mr. Dantino.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. So in essence, what this is a, it's a conservation penalty. So if you conserve water, you get penalized.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Well, I think when the economy is good, everybody's using, everybody waters their lawn a lot. There's a big change in what people are using for water.
But as technology improves and people become more aware of conservation measures, we're going to see less consumption.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. Not necessarily correct, Mr. Grimm. Despite our awareness of conservation, the fact of the matter is conservation is negligible with respect to water consumption in Geneva. We know that for a fact.
Conservation.
The impact that conservation has had on our water usage is negligible. We know that.
Say that again.
In this report, despite the fact that we all know we shouldn't take 25-minute showers, we're still taking 25-minute showers. The fact that there's technology available to help conserve water, we know for a fact that's not occurring in our users. We know that based on consumption. It's not conservation. It's the downturn overall in the economy. Three shifts being reduced to two. Restaurants not having as many businesses. Homeowners, certainly some, are installing more efficient equipment, but it's not the root cause of the consumption decline. What they're doing is instead of buying the new dishwasher to save water, they're simply not washing the dishes as often. I don't think it's necessarily a result of conservation.
I think it's a combination of many of those. I mean, look, we all had a 6-gallon toilet that gallons per flush. Now we're at 1.6.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I could put one of those in.
We have those fancy shower heads.
Yes. Now we're all over the place.
Floor's all yours.
There's a whole host of things that are leading people to be better and stewards of the environment in terms of conservation. And I find it hard to believe that if we tell people to conserve, man, we're gonna raise rates.
That's
what they just said.
No, it's not true.
Kevin, if the less water we use, the higher the rate.
There's also precipitation value that you haven't factored into your argument.
My argument was the less water we use, the higher the rate.
Rejection.
End of story.
I know. What
have you done? Mr. Van Gascon?
You could certainly look at it in that perspective on I guess what I would call an extreme case. What I have seen is not a circumstance to where conservation has come into play that severely that we're here tonight. What I have seen is, like you said, it's a combination of factors. I think that the last 2 years having such a enormous amount of rainfall and precipitation, whether it be from the month of January or December or May or whatever, it's had a significant effect on our users. Let me point out a couple just examples. We have had in the past 2 years more people call us to come over to their homes to say, we must have a leak. My sump pump is running constantly. I have never had my sump pump run before. We go to these homes. It is nothing that we have done. It is not a leak in our system. It is not a leak on their piping. Okay? The fact is that the timing of the rainfall has and the amount of rainfall that we've had, people aren't watering. Consumption comes into play with the economy. It certainly has in my household, to where people are conserving wherever they can, taking shorter showers, whether it be to say you can wear those clothes twice, whatever it may be. There's definitely a small portion, in my mind, that can come off of conservation measures. Our economy has played a more significant role than conservation, because we have seen the decline in our commercial accounts and industrial accounts so significantly that it's cause for concern. And I agree, in the future we're going to have to look at conservation measures, because it's going to happen. Whether it be from the county putting more regulations on us as far as how much we can take out of the aquifer, or the state, or whatever else, that people are going to be doing more conservation measures. But I don't think it's the reason why I'm here tonight. When I first presented to us that we needed to do a rate study, my whole thought process was that we needed to, number one, make sure that we had enough money to pay off our loans. And number two is to be as transparent to you folks as we could. I wanted to give you up-to-date information that we had. I didn't want us to be looking back in another 3 years and going, why didn't I present this information to you? And I think that, you know, we can blame the weather, we can blame the conservation measures, we can blame the economy. The bottom line is that we are dipping. If we're not going to dip into our reserves, then we're reducing our capital costs so significantly that it's affecting those people that we represent. And that is my concern. Maybe I elaborated too much, but I feel that my professional opinion, along with our neighbors to the south and our neighbors to the north, who I talk with quite a bit, it's a combination of so many things that you can't put your finger on it. But in my personal opinion, conservation is a small portion of what we've seen.
Mr. Pollack still has the floor.
That's all, Mayor.
Alderman Hill.
One brief addition to Mr. Van Giskin's comments. Working a golf course for the past five summers, I believe the last two summers were the only ones that I can recall when we did not reach 100 degrees for at least 3 or 4 days during that summertime, which means it was a cooler summer. We had the nice rains, the grass was gorgeous, and the golfers were happy, and I think this is a big reason we did not, we in Geneva did not use as much water as we have in the past.
From the audience, anyone? Questions or comments? Alderman Dantino? Go in the audience and ask your question. No one raised their hand, so it's all yours, sir.
I thought you had me down before.
I did, but I ignored you intentionally, I guess.
Let me see.
I'm sorry, I've got so many lists here, I feel like this is my bucket list, trying to call on it all three times before I die.
making me forget what I was going to say.
Sorry.
I think that what my questions were similar to Alderman Pollack's is, as the consumption goes down, we can call it whatever it is, conservation, heavy rains, if we have a drought, they'll go back up, I guess. If we ever get back to these 127 million, is that cubic feet?
Mm-hmm.
Cubic feet. Rates, this account would flourish, I would assume, and be well and above the 1.5 million. And I think the point with our guest from the audience, Mr. Kilbrick, was making is if we have some sort of mechanism to trigger that, if we get to 110 or 115 million cubic feet, that we forego the increase because the account is going to do fine. It's kind of a tough situation to ask people, and I got a couple emails that are saying this, people have asked us to conserve on water, yet you're increasing our rate, so it really didn't make any sense for us to conserve water. If we were to use more water, the rates wouldn't have to go up. So, I mean, that's all. But so I think the idea of maybe some sort of mechanism to say that, yeah, if we get to 127 million cubic feet or something like that, that then the account is in good shape. We don't need any increases. That's all. Thank you.
To Mr. Dantino's point and to Mr. Kilberg's point, there is a mechanism built in, and that mechanism is our annual review of how the fund is doing. And Mr. Radovich reminded me that because this isn't a bond offering per se, there's not a magic number we have to reach, but we're able to review that number annually, if not more frequently. And Mr. Dingus and Mr. Van Gescom and Mr. Grimm are going to be before us yet again next year saying, guess what, your cubic feet usage has gone up to X, therefore the stabilization is not necessary.
So that word again.
You can't sell it.
From the audience.
Maybe it's stabilized.
Mr. Dingus, do you want to add anything?
Or Pipes.
Done Piper and Flanagan.
Just real quick, as far as the mechanism, every month we get usage. Don Weiss presents that for electric and water. We review that. That's what Bob's been doing the last 2 years, being able to get this budget back on track. He trims the capital, he trims operating to get it back on track. That's why we're not in the hole. We're not taking the budget and saying, that's what we have to spend, therefore we're going to spend it all. No, we're trimming it down. Every month we look at where those monies are coming from or not coming from, and we adjust every month.
So it's not like we're... And we receive that information as well, and mm-hmm. It's safe to, not to assume, but to state that every report we've received in the last year are pointing downward. Plus, with the electric fund, too. I mean,
correct. And right. So I just wanted to make that point. I mean, we do look at it regularly. You guys get the reports regularly, so if the consumption is down, we can start to report what we're trimming, but what we are doing is we might have sewer lining and all these projects on the list, but we're not getting all those done. We postponed. We have a project right now, lining. We have not done it because the numbers aren't coming in. We'd like to try to get a portion of it done because there's needs out there. We've got backups happening. We've got water mains breaking. We have to do those things. We want to address the customers, but we're not able to do as much for the customers because we don't have the money coming in. That's why this rate increase is necessary.
Mr. Piper and Mrs. Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think the bottom line is we've lost some big hitters, the jail being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can let your faucet run. You're not going to make up for that. I don't know where all this conservation is coming from. You want to take a half an hour shower, knock yourself out, pay for it. I could care less. We just haven't had to water our lawns the last few years. Nobody's been doing it. The house foreclosures may have something to do with it because you get all the people that have the automatic sprinklers. They aren't turned on when those houses are foreclosed on. The bank's not going to do it. So they sit. People aren't using them as often. So, yeah, on the whole, the rest of us have to pick up that slack because that's a budget that we run off of. Hopefully we'll be able to pick that up in the future. But I think conservation's almost irrelevant to the whole discussion. If anything, I think with the water treatment plant we put in, people like me would be smart enough not to buy these things and fill it up from the house. The water's great, so that's all.
Alderman Flanagan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess we're in a situation where we're fearful if we use water, we're fearful if we don't use water, because we have water conservation during the summer. We tell people, okay, you can only water on odd days or even days. So we're in essence doing that. Normally what we do is we do a three-year span, and we don't... The rate study is usually for a three-year span, and maybe Alderman Brown can correct me if he remembers, or someone else on the council. I don't think we've ever decreased the rates once we've put those rates into effect.
I don't think we've
over
ever done three years.
Well, even with the electric, I don't know. I can't remember. So, but if we increase the budget. I only see the capital, and that's not bad, but I see that the capital expenses will increase. And that was based on Mr. Van Gussum's comment that, you know, those capital expenditures, or maybe you mentioned it, Don, the expenditures were cut because of the fact that money was short. So even if we increase... Or we would never be in a position to decrease, I think.
On that point.
Two questions. Do we forecast 3 years ahead? Is it based on have we done so in the past? I believe I know the answer. And secondly, have we ever reduced rates?
After we inputted a rate study.
Good questions.
We typically, when we do a rate study, we project out several years. It'll vary from 3, 4, to see what it is. When we did the, if you remember, when we were getting ready to build the water treatment plant back in 2004, we did a rate study. That was another 3-year rate study. And we had projections, just like we have today, what the cost of the water treatment plant was going to be. We didn't have the design done at that time, but we had projections of what it was going to be. Unfortunately, as Black and Veatch went through the design and got more defined numbers, if you recall, those numbers were much higher than our original anticipation back in 2004. So we came back in, 2005 and adjusted it upward to address the new numbers. And we kept coming back each year reviewing what those projections were. And actually in 2007 I found a recommendation, that was the last time we put a rate increase into place. We actually projected 26% increase, and we actually lowered that. Have we decreased rates? I would say not since I've been here. I don't think we've decreased a rate where we said, okay, this year we're going to lower rates by 5%. I think what we've done is when we've reviewed it, if we projected a 20% increase, we might have only increased it by 10 or 15%. So we've decreased the amount of the increase over the years. And a lot of that was based on when we originally did the rate study, we didn't know how much EPA loans we would get, and actually we were able to get a lot more than we anticipated in the rate study, so we were able to bring some of those rate increases down, but we still had rate increases.
But the bottom line is the projections were amended based on circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Each year, and that's what we're projecting here. Our recommendation is to do a phased approach where we would come back each year, and if we have a hot summer, both the electric and the water are going to benefit. And chances are we wouldn't have to do a rate increase. But if we have another year like we have the last 2 years, right now, if we have a year like we did the last 2 years, even the projections that we're making based on the 6% reduction of the 07-08, we're not going to meet those numbers, so the increase may have to be higher than we're actually projecting. So it's we don't know. Nobody can see the future, but we need to be able to project and plan for the future.
Thank you.
Mr. Malauder?
I think the question of whether we would reduce rates or not, it's a trickier issue. I think that the ratepayer benefits. So, for example, we have a rate set at this level now, and that constrains our expenses. It constrains our ability to do capital improvements. It constrains our ability to get people out and read meters. It constrains our ability to automate meter reading by upgrading our systems. If consumption increases and the rate stays at the increased level, all it does is allow us to do more for the ratepayer. We're not taking the extra funds, if you can even call it that, and, you know, flying to Florida or vacations or anything like that. We would be able to provide more service. And unfortunately, as Bob described earlier, a lot of that service is invisible to the ratepayer. It's underground and they don't know about it. But still, it's a value to the ratepayer nonetheless. So would we reduce rates? Perhaps, if we were providing 100% of the services that were in demand at that time. But to take it in a vacuum of would we reduce rates if consumption goes up without looking at what else would we do for the ratepayer, I think misses the point completely. And I can see the future, and I predict that we'll be talking about this 6 months from now.
At least one.
Anyone else in the audience? Again, anyone in the audience tonight?
May I call the question?
Man, you are one anxious son of a gun.
I'm so focused.
I need a note from you, though. My wife has to know I've been here this late.
She doesn't watch on TV.
Yeah, I guarantee she's not watching. Is that be like watching Lady Gaga on the damn Grammys. No disrespect to Lady Gaga, of course. Anyone in the audience, any comments, questions?
Lady Gaga.
From the dais.
And I think we beat
the motion. Includes the friendly amendment with the addendum reflecting new numbers to be presented on February 22nd. This is item 11A, the original motion. Maladra, the second, Mr. Singer. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ray Pollack.
Nay.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Nay.
Ralph D'Antino.
Nay.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Nay.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Nay.
You guys are delightful, isn't it? This is another tie vote, and I am proudly
tax and spending
casting an aye vote because I believe it's in everyone's best interest that we do look to the future as opposed to hide behind what can only be described as political opportunism. So I vote aye. New business. Anyone? New business tonight?
Aye. If everybody's
still awake. Just change your vote to aye?
So no.
Alderman Flanagan?
If everybody's still awake. Dancing with the Stars has been so successful, I hear that they are sold out. So it is my cue to jump in and remind everybody that it is our fourth annual Pasta for Posies coming up in March, March 3rd. Tickets are still $10 for adults, $5 for children. In this economy, we have held our costs.
And it's at Riverside.
And it is at Riverview Banquet.
Riverview, excuse me. Sorry.
I wish it was at River.
I know.
Yeah.
The water's better here.
Yeah, well, true. It's Wednesday, March 3rd. Tickets are available around town. I won't go through all of it. You can see the posters and information that'll be forthcoming, and I'm sure you'll hear from me again.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else? New business from the dais or from the audience? Mr. Van Gascon?
I just want to make one comment. We've talked a lot about in the past couple of weeks about this IEMA possible regulation, and if you folks would like me to, I can certainly do a presentation on what we have heard and what Dan and I went down to Springfield and testified for. So
that'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Be good. How
about
put something
now?
Together.
Yeah. You got to ask
I'll
Ron's
the pizza
permit.
Menus. That's what I was trying to say. Unless we get pizza.
Can we order the spaghetti dinner now?
And this is small.
We may be here.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Piper. All in favor, please
aye,
say aye.
Aye.
Ralph.
Piper,
good night, everyone.